Beloved congregation, we continue this afternoon with Luke chapter 1. This morning we began a consideration of the Song of Mary. And we saw how Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my salvation." Well, this afternoon I want to stop briefly at verse 53. First part of verse 53, and combine that with Matthew 5, verse 6. So Luke 1, verse 53, the first part. "He has filled the hungry with good things." And Matthew 5, verse 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So this afternoon, it's "My soul magnifies the Lord," by explaining hunger's blessing. When the Lord Jesus first spoke those words, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness," if he had just left it at the first part, "Blessed are they who hunger," people might have thought, how can hunger be a blessing? But here he's speaking about hungering and thirsty after righteousness. Mary says, "He fills the hungry with good things." Jesus says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, who is it that hungers and thirsts after righteousness? Who does that? It is those people who have been discovered by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to their own unrighteousness or self-righteousness or complete lack of righteousness whatsoever. And as soon as the Holy Spirit gives that person that new life, when you are born again, you begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You need to be declared righteous. You must have your unrighteousness removed. You must have the defilement of all your sins blotted out. Children, the question that a born-again person asks again and again throughout his life is, how can I be righteous in the sight of God? How can I be righteous in the sight of God today and tomorrow? And you'll never be satisfied until you know and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is made of God, as the apostle said unto us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And when your eyes are opened to look away from your own unrighteousness, to see the glorious righteousness of Christ Jesus, and you begin to see that He in His lifetime lived a life of perfect righteousness, and that He died yet in the place of sinners, and when you begin to understand that that is how sins are put away, understanding that Christ has worked out a perfect righteousness, not for Himself, but for the unrighteous. When you begin to understand somewhat, step by step, little by little, how that by imputation you are declared righteous in the sight of God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone, then by faith you lay hold on that. On that hope that is set before you. You lay hold of that glorious gospel, that good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until you know and believe that He has done that for you, you hunger and thirst after righteousness. And now Jesus says, you are blessed in hungering and in thirsting. That is a blessing from the Lord to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And even after you have found the Lord Jesus Christ to be your righteousness, even when you believe by grace that His righteousness is imputed to you, is put onto your account, and you are declared righteous because of Christ's righteousness, then you're still hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Then you want your whole nature to be righteous. And you say to the Lord, Lord, what an amazing, an amazing grace it is to know that my sins have been forgiven, washed away by the blood of Christ, that His righteousness is mine. But Lord, I still have so much sin in me. I still have so much sin in my heart. It's bitter to me. And Lord, I want my whole nature to be changed, so that I, who am by nature a lover of sin, can be made a lover of what is good in the sight of the Lord. And that I, who by nature have an evil heart, can become full of righteousness in the Lord. And children, the children of God, the believers, they're crying out for this. And they're blessed in that crying. And they never rest until they know that the Holy Spirit has made me a new creature in Jesus Christ. Until you know that you have passed from death unto life, from darkness to light. And then the things that you formerly loved, you begin to hate. The things that meant so much to you outside of Christ and beside the Lord Jesus, that you thought so special and so great, you don't think that anymore. And the things that you used to hate, you now begin to love. And when you've been made honest, then you know that everyone who is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ really hates righteousness and hates the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, after a person is born again and justified, knowing that I'm declared righteous by God on the basis of Christ's righteousness, then I'm still hungering and thirsting after righteousness in another way. I want my whole life to be sanctified. I'm longing and thirsting to live a righteous life. And the new birth is only the beginning of that work of sanctification. And so that believer is crying to the Lord to say, Lord, help me. Help me to be righteous in my character. Lord, I cannot stand against the temptations in my life. Lord, they will have the mastery over me. Subdue my pride. Keep my will under Thy control. Make me a holy person in the inmost part of my being, and let my conduct toward all other people be what it should be in every aspect of my life. In my business life, in my marriage life, in my parenting life, in my church life, let my life, Lord, be transparent. Let it be, as far as that is possible, the life of Christ written over again, as I'm becoming more and more conformed to the image of Christ. I hunger and thirst after His righteousness in that way too. And Jesus says, a truly blessed person is a person who is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. hungering and thirsting for to be justified in the sight of God, to be sanctified in the sight of God. And even when we know that all of this has happened or is happening, then we're still hungering and thirsting to persevere in that grace. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness to continue living the Christian life. Because if we have overcome one sin in our life, then we thirst to put on all the others. And if we have acquired one virtue that we've been striving after, then we thirst to have them all. And if God has given us much grace, we thirst for more grace. But James says he gives even more grace. And if in some aspects we can see that we are becoming a little bit more like the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be still more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be conformed completely to His image. So a believer is a person who's always hungering and thirsting to be made right and to be kept right. And we pray for that final perseverance, hungering and thirsting for perfection. Perfection. And we know that we will have that hunger and thirst after righteousness that will never be satisfied until we wake up in the image of our Lord. We will never be content until the last sin in us is crushed. And we have no more desire for sin. And we will be out of reach of temptation forever. That's when hungering and thirsting will stop. When we die. That's the life, according to the Lord Jesus, of a believer. May I ask you this afternoon, what are you hungering and thirsting after? Because Jesus here mentions only, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Many people are hungering and thirsting, driving their whole life after all kinds of other things, but not after righteousness. And if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, my friend. And if that's not there, His work is not there. And you need that so desperately. Otherwise, it's just the opposite. The Lord Jesus says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The opposite of that statement is, cursed are they who do not hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's the opposite. Now these are very real things. Hungering and thirsting are matters of fact. It's not imagination. If you meet somebody who tells you he's so hungry that he thinks he's going to starve, and you tell that person, no, you're not. You're not hungry. It's just your imagination. Just forget about it. You can live without food if you want to. That really hungry person says, no, if I don't eat, I'm going to die. That's how real hunger is. And that's just physical hunger. The same with thirst. Children, if you imagine somebody who's been floating around in a little boat adrift on the sea for weeks, hasn't had a drop of water except a little bit of salt water, which only made his thirst worse. And he comes to you and he says, I'm thirsty. You say, no, you're not. You're just imagining that you're thirsty. It's not real. You can live without water. You don't need a drink. That person will tell you, if I don't drink, I'm going to die. That's how real hunger and thirst is in physical life, natural life, but in spiritual life. There's nothing more real than hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Because that's when you realize, I must have my sins pardoned or I will die. I must be clothed in the righteousness of Christ or I will die. I must be sanctified or I will die. And it will break your heart if you can't get rid of sin. And you plead and you long and you pray to be made holy in the sight of God. And you cannot rest. You cannot be satisfied without His righteousness. And that hungering and thirsting after righteousness is a real experience. It's natural, isn't it, for people who need food to hunger? Mothers, you know, you don't have to tell your children to be hungry, do you? They'll tell you that 20 times a day. I'm hungry. Or I'm thirsty. And if they don't have bread and water, something to eat, then you hunger and thirst naturally. And that's how it is when the Lord God, in His grace, by the work of His Holy Spirit, has changed your nature, that new nature hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Your old nature never did. Never could. Never would if it could. The old nature, the natural man, hungers only after what is called in the parable of the prodigal son, the husks that the swine eat. But the new nature hungers after righteousness. It has to. It can't help itself. If it doesn't have righteousness, it will die. You don't need to say to a person who is born again, you desire holiness. You must desire holiness or else. No, you don't have to tell him that at all. He would give his eyes to have it. You don't need to say to a person who is under conviction of sin, desire the righteousness of Christ. He's already desiring it. He would give his life if he could just have it. Desire is described with words like hunger and thirst. It is intense. There are very few feelings in our bodies that are more intense than hunger. When you can't find any food, and I don't think any of us here have ever really been truly hungry the way our parents talk about what it was like during the war, but your hunger seems to eat you up. My mom told me when they were hungry, that's all they could think about. What am I going to eat? I need some food. Now you can lessen someone's hunger pains, but thirst is even worse. That makes even breathing and living a burden. You must drink or you must die. That's the intense longing after righteousness of a person whom Jesus says, God has blessed you so much that you are longing and thirsting and hungering after His righteousness. That you want it so urgently that you say in the anguish of your heart, I can't live without the righteousness of Christ. I must have it. The psalmist says, my soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. He's talking about soldiers who are standing guard in the nighttime, waiting for the first light of the morning. And it's dark and it seems to take so long. And he says, my soul waits for the Lord more than those soldiers are waiting. It's important to know that hungering and thirsting after righteousness is spiritual life. No one spiritually dead ever did this. It's just like in all the cemeteries in the whole world, there's never been found a dead body that was hungering and thirsty. And there never will be. But if you're hungering and thirsty after righteousness, you are spiritually alive. And not only alive, but spiritually healthy. That's what the doctor says, right? If you've been sick for some time, the doctor wants to know, do you have an appetite? And if you have a good appetite, that's a sign of good health. So it is. An appetite for the righteousness of Christ is a sign of a healthy soul. So let us all be praying for a strong appetite after Christ, to be hungry, to be covetous after righteousness. May the Lord send us this intense hunger and thirst after His righteousness, that the complete opposite of being self-satisfied and self-righteous. Are you hungering and thirsty for Christ's righteousness? And if not, what are you hungering and thirsting for? Whatever it is, it will never satisfy. It will never fill you. You'll never be filled with it. That's what's promised here, though. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. See, even though that hungering and thirsting in itself is already a blessing from the Lord, it's not a complete blessing. It stands side by side with the last part of that beatitude. They shall be filled. When we are filled in one sense, we're still hungry for more. And yet, the Lord Jesus says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. With what? Well, they shall be filled with righteousness. They shall be filled with Christ. They shall be filled with grace. They shall be filled with His love. They shall be satisfied with Christ. We'll speak about that a little more after we sing. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's no other blessing like this. No one else ever gets filled like this. You think about it in natural life. We're going to have a meal in a little while, and we will get filled. We'll eat it, we'll get filled for a little while. But tomorrow, we're going to be hungry again. It's the same with drinking. We can desire to have fluids and liquids and we can have some, and then we're not thirsty anymore for a little while, but soon we will be thirsty again. But when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled in such a way that you're never completely empty again. Never completely empty again. Doesn't mean you're never thirsty and hungry again, but you will never be completely empty again. Many people in this world hunger and thirst after riches, but nobody has ever filled his soul with money. It can't be done. Even the richest people who ever lived were never quite as rich as they wanted to be. You read about Alexander the Great. He conquered the world as it was known at the time. but it didn't fill his soul. He wanted more worlds to conquer. You and I could have 10 worlds. We could possess the universe, all of space, and it would never be enough to fill our souls. We would still be extremely poor. But beloved, God has made your heart so that nothing can ever fill it but God Himself. And there's this hungering and thirsting put into the soul of a born-again sinner so that he knows his necessity. And he knows that only the Lord Jesus Christ can supply what I need. When a person is saved by the grace of God, he has obtained all that he wants and needs. When you get Christ, then you are satisfied. And only then. This being filled is the most suitable blessing. Because if you think about a person who is hungry and thirsty, how can you take away his hunger without giving him food? How can you take away his thirst without giving him liquids, at least enough to satisfy him? But dear believer, that's Christ's promise to you and about you. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst after my righteousness, because you shall be filled. You thirst after my righteousness, you shall be filled with my righteousness. You hunger and thirst after God, you shall be filled with God. You hunger and thirst after communion with Christ, you shall be filled with communion with Christ. You hunger and thirst to be kept from sin, you shall be filled with being kept from sin. You hunger and thirst to be made perfect. Jesus says, you shall be made perfect. It is such an abundant blessing. The word that's used here is so amazing. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? They shall be what? Get a little drop? Get a little snack every once in a while? Just enough to take the edge off their hunger? No, that's not what Jesus says at all. They shall be filled. Satisfied to overflowing. They shall have all that they need and enough and to spare. You who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled to the brim, so that it flows over. You'll be saturated like a sponge that can't hold any more. That's a gospel promise straight from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And the reason He can make that promise is that very hungering and thirsting, He's put that in you already. He knows it's there. And He is going to fill you. And dear believers, you will be filled. You will be kept, preserved, even to the end. That's included in this. He who has begun a good work in you will complete that work. He who has begun to cleanse you will cleanse you without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing. He never begun a job that he didn't or will not finish. He's never failed in any undertaking that he's taken on, and he never will. All of your corruptions will have their heads broken. And even though your sin still rebels, the battle is over. The battle is lost. For that sin, it's just struggling, gasping for breath and for life. But Christ is victorious. You shall be filled. The weapons of His grace shall slay all your sin. And He will end the strife. And it will be over. Those sins that still trouble you today will be just like those Egyptians that pursued the children of Israel into the Red Sea. It says there in Exodus, you shall see them no more forever. Why? Because Christ has blotted them out. And Christ has filled you. And how does this come about? How can Christ make this promise? Well, you say, well, He can promise anything, yes, but there's a price to pay. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Children, do you remember that there's a time when the Lord Jesus said, I thirst? Yeah? On the cross, remember? He said, I thirst. And why did He say, I thirst? Well, He was thirsty. He needed some water, right? But you know why He was so thirsty? Because He was filled with your unrighteousness, dear believer, on that cross. With your unrighteousness. And that's why He can now say, blessed are you who hunger and thirst after My righteousness, for you shall be filled with Mine, as I was filled with yours. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we bless You, O Lord, for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, for sinners like us. Lord, we acknowledge that in our natural state we are hungering and thirsting after all the wrong things, looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places, amongst all the wrong people. But Lord, we have heard this afternoon that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Lord, there are many people here this afternoon who do hunger and thirst after Thy righteousness. And we plead on this promise, O Lord, what You have said there. They shall be filled. Lord, fill us according to Thy promise. But Lord, we fear there are also people here this afternoon who do not hunger and thirst after righteousness at all. Some who do not even care one little bit. And Lord, we acknowledge and we know that it is right that it would say to them, cursed are all those who don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will not be filled with Christ's righteousness. They will be filled with Thy wrath. Oh Lord, even this day we pray, look upon them in Your mercy. Draw them irresistibly, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the love of the Lord. Lord, we pray now for Thy blessing on our supper together, our potluck supper, and the sing-along afterwards. We pray that in all of this, the Lord may be glorified. We thank Thee for all the planning that has gone into it from the senior youth group and all those who are involved. Lord, bless it for them and for us and for the exaltation of Thy great and awesome name. Keep us from sin. Bring us back together again on Tuesday morning for our Christmas Day service. Lord, in all of this we acknowledge we don't deserve the least of Thy blessings. But wilt Thou do it, Lord, for Jesus' sake. In His name we pray. Amen.